Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Hey, good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. This is all your alternative. This is your other choice on the internet to get away from some of those other things that will lure you into areas of darkness and desire for the flesh and temptation. This place here, we'll get you to laugh a lot sometimes, especially today, because we have the guy who brings a lot of laughter in everything he does. Well, maybe not everything.
Not everything.
Oh, that sounds pretty serious.
Yes.
That would be Felix, Pastor yes. Felix here in the studio.
Yes. How are you, Raul?
I'm good. How are you doing?
About 8.5 out of 10.
Ooh, that's not bad.
No.
Well, you always have to leave room for improvement.
That's right.
Got to always leave something in there. Well, I'm probably in that 8. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say I'm any better than you because I'm going to rely on you today because you don't even know what the topic is today. He got here at the last moment, but you know what? I know this guy is ready in season and out of season, but that doesn't matter. But here's what the main topic is that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about a man's battle for significance. What does that mean? What does the Bible say about that sort of thing? A man's come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. We'll talk about that here momentarily in just a little bit. Hey, listen, there is, we want to give these guys a little bit of encouragement.
Well, what do we want to encourage them to do?
I don't know. You got anything on your heart? People, I mean, some of these guys are pretty busted up. Some of these guys are, you know, a lot of fear in the world, a lot of things taking place with, look at our nation. The things that are taking place with where racism is being brought up.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
You know, how does that apply into everyone's walking on eggshells everywhere?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, man, you know, it's up to us, as usual, to lead. And if we don't lead, then the world winds up in trouble. So, guys, you know, if you were brought up in a negative situation where you heard a lot of racial slurs in your family, or you heard a lot of, you know, things that you wouldn't even repeat now, you need to know that there's a situation right now that you can make a difference. And in your workplace, you know, if you're hearing some of this stuff, you know, you need to let them know that the root of all this is sin. Has nothing, you know, racism is just a byproduct of sin. And the devil will use anything to divide and conquer. And so we don't ever want to get into that situation to get on sides and take sides with situations that we don't really know the depth of the woundedness of the people or the depth of the deprivation of the system. So we got to keep people pointed towards Jesus. You know, that is the only hope for this world, because without him, we're all in the toilet, brother. So just remember that, and don't be a victim of any of that type of, you know, mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's difficult, especially where things are being said. People look at you just because of what you look like.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, especially now, and it's like all of a sudden, it's, oh, my goodness. And then we do the same with others. It's we have to avoid them. I've got to stay clear, or don't make eye contact, or whatever,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And sometimes that in itself creates the challenge,
mm-hmm.
You know, where you sit there and you think, oh, I don't want to create any problems. That creates a problem.
Right,
it does. But that's the world that we live in today. And
oh, yeah.
I think Scripture is pretty clear about sort of things.
We're in the end times. This is end times.
Yeah.
This is closer to the end times than we've ever been before.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, yes. I'm not going to say anything more about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's good encouragement. Is it easy to do? No. It's difficult.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's the one. We have to connect with Him, because He'll give you all the right words, the right actions to take. More importantly, His perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to go with, because sometimes things need to be said or done, but it may not be the right time.
Yeah.
You know, so checking in with Him and taking the time to listen is so important. All right. Well, listen, how about we kick into this thing on significance?
Significance.
You know, as young men, I mean, we grow up, the majority of young men as children, depending, you were born in a big city. I was born in a big city, but it was more rural and suburbs. You were in the city itself, right?
Concrete and glass.
And so it was a different type of upbringing than what mine was, in the sense where we had ground to be able to play with little army men and play little things, you know, do stuff, play ball outside, try to do things that you did play ball outside, but it was on a
stick ball.
We did too, but
off the curb.
But the fact is, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that there was. Even as kids, there was something that we wanted to be. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you remember, not Red Skelton, what was the guy's name? Used to ask the kids' name, ask them the craziest things kids would say.
Art Linkletter. Yes, okay. See, we're old, man.
Yeah, some of these guys are listening, sit there and go, who is that?
Old. Okay.
But they, you know, the question would always be asked in the sense, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
You know, a fireman, a doctor, a nurse, whatever, whoever. But, you know, to the boys, it was always, you know, I want to be a cowboy. You know, I want to be, you know, it always sounded like something that was going to be very significant, right? Mm-hmm. And whether they kept up with that or that was just a good answer that they gave, who knows? Maybe it was a dream, you know? But is it... In today's world, I mean, these guys, same guys who answered like that, today's world, they probably didn't come close to becoming a doctor, didn't come close to becoming, you know, a sports, professional athlete, okay, whatever it might have been, okay? And then all of a sudden you become a little like, oh, I guess I just didn't have what it takes, you know, and that, I don't mean anything. It doesn't matter anymore, you know? And sometimes that guys will take that. And that's where all of a sudden the rest of life we start thinking, okay, we're just like everybody else. I've got to just try to find my little piece of pie, a little happiness every now and then, and go from there. Be satisfied with what you have or don't have, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So does that stir anything up in you?
Well, early on in my Christian life, I read this book, and I can't remember the author, but it was called The Search for Significance. And it's still a classic in the Christian world, because God has, you know, when we're made in the image of God, guess what? We do think that we're supposed to be significant, because we're made in the image of God.
Yes.
Who is more significant than God? Nobody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is being His children. We do have that innately put in us. That's a saved or an unsaved person. It doesn't matter. If we were born of a seed and a womb, we are that way. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And the whole thing is, when we're young and we have these dreams, we have these hopes, we want them to happen, and they're not nurtured. When we have parents or teachers or whatever that constantly talk down to us, try to steal our dream, try to make us say, oh, you'll never be able to do that, or you're dumb, you're stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of things really wound us in our hearts, and we lose that hope of being that astronaut or that doctor or that physicist or that teacher or whatever it is that we were gifted to be, because God gifts us all with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that as parents, one of the things that we need to learn is how to encourage what God has put in your children. The Bible says, train them up in the way they should go. And so we should know how to encourage that spirit and really let them know they can do anything. Mm-hmm. And that helps, because people want to be significant.
And let me ask you, is being significant, do you think that's something that has to do with kind of looking at me being highlighted? Is it, I mean, is there...
It can be.
Is it a prideful thing, I guess?
It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay. How can it not be? Let's put it that way. I think we all know what it, looks like to be.
Oh, yeah. Ego, the ego is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is that you don't steal God's glory, that you realize that the gifts that you have came from God.
Mm-hmm.
They're not yours. They're not like you made them up and you know, some people think I'm a self-made man.
Mm-hmm.
That statement, forget that, you know, mm-hmm. but people think that they think
right.
that they're through their effort, through their hard work, they made it happen.
Yes.
They don't realize behind the scenes, there's a God that's working, that he is influencing everything on this planet. And he's the one that makes things happen, not us. And
yeah.
so when we give him the glory and we say, thank you, Lord, like somebody like Russ Wilson, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gives God the glory. He says, you know, the guy's an awesome athlete,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't say, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. It say, hey, God, glory to God.
Yeah.
He points to the heavens.
Yeah.
He says, it's him that's given me this talent to be this awesome. And so when we take it all on ourselves and don't give God the glory, that's when we blow it. God wants his kids to be significant, but he wants them to know who has made them significant.
But he also, in a sense, and we'll use the quarterback you're talking about, Russell Wilson, in that sense, that he didn't just say, hey, God's given me all this strength and ability. And so he gave him ability, but he still has to train. He still has
to
get his body ready to be able to do the things that he is able to do.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah. It's a partnership.
But a lot of times guys will... I've heard him talk, say, hey, man, when God puts that on my heart and I start doing that, then that's when it'll happen.
It's a twofold thing, Raul. I mean, God puts it in our heart,
mm-hmm.
but then we have to do what we're supposed to do. See, God is not going to do what we're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and we can't do what God's supposed to do. It's a partnership that we have to learn how to dance. I call it a dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we move, he moves, he moves. And so he'll put that idea in your head.
Yeah.
But if you don't execute it, if you don't go and do the things that you need to do to make it happen, it's sort of like a prophecy. You know, somebody can prophesy something over you,
yeah.
but if you don't walk it out and see it through,
right.
it's not going to happen.
That's right.
So it's an opportunity.
It's back to that faith without works.
Yeah.
It's dead.
Dead.
It doesn't mean anything.
Dead.
You can sit there and talk about all the things that God's put on your heart, and you're sitting in your living room playing video games and watching ESPN.
yeah. and wondering why it's not coming that bad.
How come I'm not turning into one of those guys yet? Come on, Lord, I'm waiting. I'm getting, you know, my waistline is getting a little larger. I need to get a little, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So for this to become a reality, in a sense, of significance. Okay, let's just say, as an example, for the purpose that God gives us as men, as Christian men, okay, is to ultimately spend eternity with him and to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Some guys, and I used to make the remark, say, serious? That's it? I mean, before I was a believer,
right?
I mean, serious? That's it? I'm going to just be singing and praying
all
for eternity.
Yeah. One long worship service.
You know, exactly. and that's what I thought. You know, that's where my head was.
Sure.
And I said that, I go, and that kept me from actually accepting the whole thing or even more. It took a little longer before that, you know, got, set in right, in a sense. But the purpose of man here on this earth is to be able to draw closer to God, to learn more of him, but also more, just as important, is to let others know of him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, to reflect his glory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. And to let other, and to teach our children, to teach those that we influence.
Yeah.
Because we are influential no matter who we are, right?
And that's the thing of being significant. A significant person makes a difference. Because that's what significance is. It's significant. It makes a difference. It's influential. And I think as men, we need to be that.
So in the Bible, we think of some high-powered names, in a sense. Abraham, Moses, okay? Jacob, Daniel, David.
Joseph.
You know, Joseph, right? These are men of significance, right? But one thing they all have in common besides that... relationship with God is that the majority of time they were humble in their walk. They gave God the praise. They gave him the glory
mm-hmm.
in all things, right?
Not only that, they all had a time of testing.
To see where they're at.
Yeah, where God was perfecting that and getting them broken. Because, see, our egos has got to be broken if we're going to glorify God, because otherwise we'll glorify us. Right. You know, and that's the difference. Nebuchadnezzar had to be broken. He was eating grass like an animal. Why? Because he was a man God wanted to use, but he was full of himself.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So what, in a sense, for a guy to be able to say, that's like looking at somebody high-powered that is highlighted in the midst of everything and of saying, this guy is very influential, you know, he has a lot of things I don't have, you know, and why can't I be like him? Why can't I strive to be like him? But I can't because I don't have the money, the means, the intelligence, the whatever it is. So, in other words, not everyone can be, just for the lack of a, I can't, nothing else comes to mind. Not everyone can, not every boy can be the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. May want to be.
Yeah, everybody's
but it's not going to happen.
No.
So what is the guy supposed to do? If that's his thing, that he, that's what he believes he wants to do.
Well, the single most important thing any man can do is be a good husband and father. Because that in itself is makes a generational deal that not only do you pour into your sons and daughters, but into your grandsons, granddaughters, and you are creating, you know, out of that, you don't know what can come out of that. There could be a president in somewhere in right. your bloodline if right. you're creating that kind right. of influence right. and that kind of positiveness in your bloodline. So it may not be you, but you could have that kind of influence. I think somebody once said, who was the guy that led Billy Graham to the Lord? Yeah. That was whoever yeah. did that. yeah. Hey, he might yeah. not have did anything else, but yes. he led Billy Graham to the Lord. Yes. So, I mean, yes. we don't realize the influence or the impact we can have by doing righteousness. Deeds,
right?
And God loves that.
In a certain sense, it's similar to what David and Solomon. David thought he was going to build the temple for
sure.
God.
He wanted to.
He wanted to. He said, "I'll be the one. I'm the one. I'm doing all this stuff. Look at all the things I've taken care of so far. And now you've given me. I'm going to do this." But God said, "No, it's not going to be you.
Nah,
it's going to be your son. No, mm-hmm. not the one that died. It's going to be the next one." Anyway. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're talking about significance in a man's life in today's world. We'll be right back. You're listening to Bannon Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, "I need help." If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night, at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
You're taking me deeper.
Welcome Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, I just want to read something here real quick here, verse 1, 2, and 3. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Now, that's a statement for what would sound like the perfect man.
No, just a Christian man.
Ah. So we only look at it as being the perfect man
right.
because we're not there.
Right.
That's yeah. all it really yeah. comes down to. We want to be able to say, hey, I'm not quite there.
But is that your goal? See that's the key to Christianity. It's not that you're ever going to arrive.
Yes.
Paul said, I haven't arrived yet.
Yes.
The arriving, it's the road. It's being on that path, being on that journey where our destiny is fulfilled on the journey, not
yes.
at the goal.
Yes.
You know, so many times people want, they see that goal. It's you got to enjoy that journey. I mean, if you don't, it's just like, let's go back to athletes. If you don't enjoy working out, you will never be seriously.
I know.
If you don't enjoy working out, you will never be the kind of athlete that you want to be. And that's why you and I aren't the athletes that we could have been. Because, you know, you have to really enjoy the practice and the workout. You got to enjoy the journey. And so, guys, we got to really realize that we're on a journey. And we need to enjoy the journey because that's what we're on. It's an adventure with God. And the more we learn, the more we're able to be more effective and more significant in our families, because that's the first place you want to be significant. You know, I want my daughters to be proud of Dad. I want them to be wanting Dad to walk them down the aisle. I want them to think about me when they choose a man. I want to be influential in their lives. I want to be influential in my wife's life. And so that's hard work, guys. That's really hard work. And that's why we don't do it, because it's hard work. And you know, but hard work is what's required to be successful in anything.
Well, isn't that, it's biblical. It says that the road is narrow, mm-hmm. and it's going to get more and more narrow, mm-hmm. okay? This road of seeking Christ and being like him, it means that we got to get rid of a lot of stuff that we've been carrying with us that we think we need.
Yeah.
That right. baggage, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday, we just got to get rid of some of this stuff so we can actually do the work that God has intended for us. You know, sometimes we carry things with, and I'm not talking about literal things. I'm talking about things that we think that we need to be able to have because I need this, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we're not even going to talk about the mommy issues, daddy issues stuff,
gosh.
Because those emotional things are stuff that God wants to heal, because he doesn't want us to take that with us down the road either.
So what it really comes down to is that there's a certain thing that we need to realize, that we need to almost like start anew each and every day.
Could be.
Wow.
Yeah. Because every day is a new day, you know, and we don't have to carry the old stuff today that we had yesterday, if we will.
But what if I need that stuff? I might get lonely. I might need some of that stuff.
That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
You don't need it. It's not. Matter of fact, it's not made for the new man. It was made for your old man. Your old dead man. It wasn't made for you.
Die to self.
Yeah, it wasn't made for you.
Okay.
It was made for that old dead man. And so when we take that old dead man's stuff, we're robbing a grave. Mm. Who wants to be a grave robber? I'm not a grave robber.
Yeah, it's kind of a spooky thing.
I want new stuff. New.
Yeah, so how does a guy get to that place of actually realizing that, you know, hey, I desire something new?
You got to get sick and tired of the old.
You got to get, exactly. You got to sit there and say, hey, man, I'm doing the same thing over and over again, not getting any different result, okay? And it just means I'm just crazy about whatever it is that I'm thinking,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. And I've got to be done with that sort of thing. But to get to that place of being willing, Yeah. But like you said, you got to get to that place of where you're just,
you know, it's just like the, just like the addiction stuff that we used to have. You know, you had to be at the bottom of the barrel. You had to be, you know, when I wanted to give up cigarettes, you know, I tried every cigarette brand almost in the world, you know, trying to get some satisfaction, but I couldn't get any more
satisfaction. You started out with cool, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so try to be cool, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that, you know how it is, Cookie. You know how that was.
I never had to buy cigarettes for a long time.
Yeah. But the whole thing is, if we're not at the bottom of the barrel, if we're not, and it's different for every person. We say sometimes, gosh, I thought he would be at the bottom of the barrel. No, some people are more resilient. They bounce at the bottom of the barrel. They don't just lay there. They bounce and try to jump back up. You know, they're not through with it yet. Once you're through with it, then God can give you the grace to be able to have victory in any area of your life.
Really, what it comes down to is that I end up having to trust in him even more to realize that, you know what, I'm tired of jumping and trying to get up there and I trying to reach for this thing that is just out of my reach.
Yeah.
And realizing that, hey, I'm getting older and I can't jump as high as I used to. So, I mean, you know, I need to start doing things, you know, start thinking a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Recovering from hangovers takes longer.
Oh, my gosh. You know, whatever it takes at that point. So, a man who's listening to us today, is the likelihood is probably a believer, probably one that has got to that place of saying, okay, you know, I've got a Bible, and but yet they don't, I don't want to say, they don't partake in increasing that relationship with Jesus Christ.
Spiritually lazy.
Yes. I mean, how does a guy overcome something like that?
Well, again, you know, if you're satisfied where your spiritual life is, then there's nothing we can tell you because you're satisfied with where you are. Well, as the guy says, how is that working for you?
You know?
And if it's working for you well, then I really can't motivate you to do that. Mm-hmm. But if you're saying, what if? You know, that little like, what if? What if I put a little effort into this? What if I seek God with my whole heart? What if I do some fasting and praying? What if I, you know, what if? What could happen? If that little light just flickers one time and you try it, God will reward you tremendously for your effort on the part of you. Because, see, you have a free will and you don't have to do it. And God's not going to hate you and send you to hell because you don't, because you're a mediocre carnal Christian. He's not going to do that.
Right.
But what it is you miss out on the kind of life that he has for you, because he has a life of fullness of joy, of, you know, adventure. What man doesn't want an adventure? A man that doesn't want an adventure, I don't know if he's a real man. I don't know.
You know, hey, you can sit and watch TV, watch all those adventures on TV, survival, Last One on the Island, all those different things. Look how cool that is.
There's no risk involved.
Exactly.
It's safe. Yeah. Sitting in your chair, eating them crackers. It's not
crackers.
Yeah, whatever he's eating.
When's the last
chips.
Time you eat crackers as you're watching TV?
Yeah, Triscuits.
Oh my gosh.
Sure.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, but the whole thing is, you know, there's no risk. See, God has called us to take risks. That's what faith takes. You got to step out there. You don't know what's going to happen, but you know you take a risk. And there's not enough men that want to be risk takers. We want to be safe.
Yeah.
Dude, it ain't about your safety. It's about you being who God's called you to be, and that may take a little bit of risk.
But see, in the guy's head sometimes, sitting there saying, yeah, but I don't have time for some of the stuff that I need to do, right? I just don't have time. I got a busy life. I am working. I'm being responsible. I'm trying to do all the things I need to do to be able to make my family happy.
Yeah, I've heard that so many times. You're a prisoner of your calendar. I understand that. Guess what? You got to take authority over your calendar. In Jesus' name, you need to ask God, God, what needs to go on my calendar? Now, because some of that stuff is not sinful. It's just something that doesn't need to be on your calendar.
But a lot of times as a guy who's not doing ministry work full time or involved in that sort of thing, sitting there and saying, what do you mean? God, what does God have to do with my calendar? This is the work I need to. These are things that I need to do. This is, I've got a wife who has. We got three kids, and they're all playing, if not baseball, soccer, or swimming, or whatever. And we got to drive them here and drive them there, and so on and so forth, and all of this. Da, 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 da.
And where's God in all of that?
We see him on Sunday.
Yeah, see, that's not the plan. You see, when you're driving, it's you and God. When you're at work, it's you and God. When you're every place you go, God is there. Do you acknowledge him? Do you give him glory? Do you thank him? Or is he part of your conscious life? Or do you just bring him in when you want him, when you need him, and on Sunday? See, God wants to live his life with you because you need to live your life with him. So he's there. But do you acknowledge that? Or are you so busy doing the stuff that God is nowhere in your consciousness?
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about some application that we can do in today's world. Because you hear us saying, using reasoning on what needs to be taken away and how do we get the new stuff? You know, what are we talking about? You know, we're going to try to put that into application in true life experiences that you might be able to take. And something like eating Triscuits. I said, I needed a clarification. He says cracker. What are you talking about eating a cracker, a Triscuit? We're going to tell you about Triscuits when we get back. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's Meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hempler's.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Felix and Raul in the studio talking about a significance. You know, one of the things about significance, Felix, it sounds like that it could be easily misconstrued or misunderstood in a sense that where somebody is, in a sense, looking to be highlighted in everything.
Yeah.
And as you had said earlier, that isn't necessarily a bad thing. Or a wrong thing. The fact is that knowing that we have significance in Christ, he does have a plan for us. And when we desire to know what that is, there's only one, the best way, the easiest way, the most 100% guaranteed you'll find out way is by going to the manufacturer of you, you know. If we have a problem with our laptop or something, you just bought it or something, you take it back to where you purchased it, and they know the manufacturer, and they'll say, this is what you're supposed to do or what you're not supposed to do. You'll learn, be given something to be able to learn how to be able to make it work for you, mm-hmm. right? Same thing with him. It's through his word, right? The other way is through those who are actually been doing it for a while also. Mm-hmm. That fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that actually keeps men. We're talking about application here. Here's the thing, and you had mentioned it too, is that What did you say? Most guys aren't going to do something because?
Because they don't have to.
They don't have to.
That's just it.
So they're in their own comfort.
Yeah.
So really what it comes down to is that we're assuming that those who are listening are tired of doing the things the way they've been doing them.
That they're looking for help.
They're looking for help.
Yeah.
So as a result of that, it means you're hungry. When you're hungry, you're going to desire something that's going to be able to fill you up or at least give something that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. And you may not even know exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But God has a tendency of being able to stir your heart because he created it.
Yeah.
And he says, I know what's going to stir him up. How often is it? You've done this before, and I've done it in leaders' meetings to find out what a guy's true giftings are or what his to help find his purpose is usually what fires his heart up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what is it that upsets you in today's world? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, am I not getting paid enough money or there's certain things, but what is it that you sit there and go, man, if I could change that, I would.
Yeah.
You know, that one, that motivator, whatever that might be. Sometimes that's a way of being able to see what it is that God has actually put inside you. You know what they are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it was Bill Hybels or somebody said, you know, that holy discontent that you have in your spirit about something, yeah. Whether it be an injustice or just something that just, you know, like you said, if I could change anything, what would you change? And that's usually what's the issue in your life or in the world that just connects with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things is, as guys, you know, we like to fix things.
Yep.
And if what that is so humongous, like world poverty, you know, if that's what bugs me, then I'm in trouble because I can't fix world poverty. Right. It just ain't going to happen. So how do you eat an elephant? You eat an elephant one bite at a time. You don't worry about the world poverty. You say, hey, what can I do for poverty just where I am? With what I have, you know, you don't try to, because we get discouraged. The devil will do that. He'll discourage us from something because it's so big and so insurmountable that you can't possibly make a difference. Mm-hmm. You can make a difference. If each one of us did what we were supposed to do, you realize the world would not be where it is now. But so many of us are not. We're absent. We're AWOL.
And a lot of times we end up, like you said, we don't desire to do that sort of thing. But, man, if you're in that position where you're going, I want to be used by God, you just start doing the footwork and paying attention to him
mm-hmm.
by having a relationship with him that's even stronger, more time spent together. When you want to get to know somebody, you got to spend time with them, right?
There's no shortcuts.
I mean, you cannot just all of a sudden, oh, I know this guy. He's, you know, whatever. No, you've got to get to know who they are. And when that happens, and guess what? All of a sudden, he's able to speak to you and let you know that you're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Doors are going to open or doors are going to close.
Right.
Don't be discouraged with that. That just means, hey, you need to be going down another path possibly. You might be in the same realm or in the same area, in the right area, but you just need to go over to the right a little bit or to the left, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple fact is that when we do that, then all of a sudden you start doing things that have relevance, that fulfill you, that all of a sudden, just like you use the example you use on world poverty, if all of a sudden you work at, maybe I'm just throwing this out, at a local ministry or mission that helped the oppressed,
mm-hmm.
those who are in need,
yeah.
just by passing out clothing
yeah.
on a certain day,
yeah.
to people, they say, hey, here's your job. You just take care of all the pants here for the men that come in and mm-hmm. just give them the right size that they need. I'm telling you, you will be in awe of what God all of a sudden just lights up in you, where all of a sudden, wow, I just made that guy's day.
Yeah.
I didn't bring the pants. All I did was hand him the pants.
Right.
And they fit him. He said, this is great. I haven't looked, you know. And then all of a sudden, you're just sitting there to bring joy into somebody else's life,
mm-hmm.
and you had nothing to do with it. God did.
That's right.
He gets the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you sit there and you just go, oh, my goodness, I enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might be thinking, oh, I got to be careful because I don't want to be doing this full time. Right? But that's what
here's the key to this, though, Raul. In the kingdom of God, when you do that kind of work
mm-hmm.
and you're faithful, God mm-hmm. promotes you. He promotes you. Uh-huh. And that so you may think, oh, I'm just doing this little thing. God sees you. He says, I can trust this man.
Yeah.
I can trust him with my glory. I can trust him. You know, and when God says he can trust you, there's no limit to what he can do through you and with you.
Yes.
And so if you think that little bitty thing that you're doing is all that you may ever do,
mm-hmm.
you may find out that that's not the case.
Jesus talks about it in the Bible, and he talks about it in talents, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the guys that he ended up, he gave the story of the man who was leaving. He said, hey, you take this much money, you take that much money, you take that much money, and when I come back, I'd like to see some things change here,
yep.
right? And everyone did something with it, except one guy. He buried it. Said, oh, man, you know, I was worried that, you know, nothing was going to happen with this thing, and you'd come back and you'd be upset if I blew it. Well, the thing is that he blew it all right by burying it and took that money and gave it to one of the other guys who was did
that,
something
that he
with
could
it,
trust.
That he could trust,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And this other guy was cast out. Said, yeah. I can't trust him, you know? He didn't. Yeah. He went about his own business and took care of whatever without taking care of God's business.
Yeah.
And truly, and those are the things. It's about, okay, so let me just, so we're going to change track here a little bit on the same deal. What does a guy have to do to be able to find out what it is? How can he, I kind of touched on it a little bit, on what he ought to do, what God might want him to do. In other words.
Well, you got to say, okay, I'm going to plan to change my life. Because see, nothing's going to change unless something changes. That means that there's some time that you're spending doing X that now you're going to have to do Y. So you're going to have to figure out, because you're already doing stuff. The question is, what am I going to take off my plate and put on my plate that's going to lead me closer to God, that's going to make me the man that God needs me to be? And so the thing is, it's intentional, and it says, I have to change the way I'm doing things. Because, see, we're creatures of habit, and that's just, we have habits. Now, the question is, the only way to get rid of a habit is to replace it with another habit. So, you know, if you get up and you don't do anything in the morning, then now you're going to get up and you're going to replace that when I'm going to read some word, or I'm going to pray, or I'm going to listen to some worship. I'm going to do something that connects me with God. First thing in the morning, first thing straight up before my feet hit the floor, I'm going to be thinking about God. Because as we set our minds and our hearts through the first thing, it helps us through the rest of the day. So I think that's one of the first things to say, you know, when I open my eyes, I want to praise him. You know, when I roll out of bed, I want to pray. When I hit that alarm clock, I want to praise him. You know, just put him into your conscious mind that you are living your life before the living God.
Amen.
It's like, think about it this way. You're in a reality show. And all these cameras are in your house. They are looking at you. Everybody in the world. You have a television show.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Because, see, in heaven, they are watching you. God is watching you. You are not just living your life by yourself. There's a great cloud of witnesses, it says in the book of Hebrews, that are watching us. You understand?
You're scaring some guys right now. You know that.
They should, because we live our lives thinking nobody's watching us.
Yeah,
nobody's seeing the stupid stuff we do.
It's dark in here. Nobody can see anything.
Right. Yeah. Dude, we're watching. He's watching. The angels are watching. The demons are watching. You are on TV. So you better get your act together, because God is watching. So knowing that changes your behavior. When you know the cameras are watching, you change your behavior. So think, God is watching. I need to change my behavior. And you put him into your conscious mind. As soon as you wake up, and when you go to bed, thank you, Lord, for an awesome day. Thank you. And you just keep him in your mind. And he will, when you now acknowledge him, he will make himself real to you in ways that you just thought you thought were going to happen, but didn't realize they would.
And I think one of the key things that needs to take place along with this is that when you start feeling like God's leading you in a direction or telling you this is what I, you know, something indicates that you're thinking, oh, I wonder if this is from God. Does he want me to be able to do this? Instead of just trying to figure it out by yourself, and especially when we get to that place of thinking that I've got a connection with God, I don't need anyone else, I can just do it, just me and God. Probably a good idea that's when you run it by someone else.
What's the Bible say? The Bible says two important scriptures. One, it says there's safety in a multiplicity of counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Safety.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to bounce it off of people you can trust. Right. Second thing is, let every word and truth be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses.
That's it.
So we don't live this Christian life by ourselves. We can be deceived very easily. If you've ever lied to yourself, if you've ever fooled yourself, you'll know that you cannot trust yourself. You need to have that external input.
But Felix, you don't understand. I don't need people because I don't get along with people, and sometimes they don't get along with me. And this is just the way I'm created. This is the way God created me. I'm just a introvert, and I don't need to be around all these people like that.
Oh, you don't need to be maybe around 50,000 people, but you can find one or two. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not a matter of whether you see if you want to stay the way you are. Then you'll stay the way you are. If you're sick and tired of being the way you are, then you can be different. You know, you say, I'm an introvert. Personally, I'm an introvert. I believe me, if it was up to me, I'd be sleeping right now, not here talking to you on this radio show. I know that. Really. So I'm just letting these guys know. You know, it's not about me. You know, when we get past the, well, I'm this way and I can't change, then you don't know the living God. He wants to change you. He wants to make you. And it doesn't mean that you won't enjoy being by yourself. It just means that you will also have the grace to be able to be something with other people, too, because you need other people. If you stay by yourself, the enemy, what is it when the animals in the jungle, they get separated from the pack, the lions eat them up because, see, they have nobody to support them. Everybody, we all need support. And it's just like, you know, that's why sports is so interesting. You know, guys leave the NFL, right? They say, what did you miss most? Not the millions of dollars. They say they missed the camaraderie. They missed the locker room.
Yep.
They missed the practice and working out with the guys and having that heart-to-heart thing. We're made for that. Guys, all guys are made for that. And so if we say we're an introvert, we at least realize that, hey, I need to have somebody, you know, that I can talk to, somebody I can be accountable to. And when we realize that, we can really go further.
And one of the things that will happen as a result of this relationship with others, not only with God, but with others, is that you may end up hearing for the very first time that you're important in somebody else's life. When all of a sudden now, what you've been seeking, that significance, has been given to you as a result of doing what God wants you to be doing. So, there you have it, brother.
Amen.
All right. Nice job, man. Hey. How about praying for our brothers here listening?
Father, I thank you that you have put in our hearts that you want us to be significant because you are significant and we are your children. Let us realize, Lord, that we're significant before you and that you have things for us to do and be. And that as long as we will desire the things that you desire for us, we will be successful in all things. So, Father, I'd ask that whoever's listening to this would understand that they can be who you've desired them to be, have the influence, and be significant because you have made them significant. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives and in their families. In Jesus' name, amen.